Let's stand, please. 133. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Everybody back tonight, and I will tell you, it's encouraging, and I can't wait till we have twice this many, and I'll get really encouraged. So it is good to see you. If we could have our ushers come forward, we'll receive our evening offering, and then John will come and share a song with us, and Gene will come and share the word with us. Any outspoken requests you want to make? Yes. Yes. She's not well? Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, Helen. Any others? Let's remember Gene's grandchildren. I think one's going one way and one's going another. Might end up in the same place. You never know. But God's there and God's there and God's in the same place, so it won't matter. Any others? Father, we're so thankful that you've let us come back tonight. Lord, it just seems like the more that we see going on around us, the more we feel like traveling on. Our heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. But Lord, until you come and get us, or until you call us home, help us to be faithful. And Lord, in being faithful, help us to remember that you were faithful first. Help us to remember all those times that we weren't faithful. You remained faithful. Help that be what motivates us, what you've done for us. What you've done for us, you'll do for anyone. That's what we need to go tell people. Come and see what the Lord hath done. Oh, what great salvation is afforded to everyone and anyone who'll just believe. Such a simple thing. From such a mighty God. Now, Father, bless these requests tonight for all these families. Lord, for Gene's grandchildren.
Oh, I know what it's like to go off. Not knowing if you're going to be in war or not. Not knowing if you're going to be in the battle or not. Lord, I just pray that you watch over them. And then, Father, for these families that were mentioned that have lost loved ones. Oh, Lord, I pray for great conviction on them. And, Lord, for your children that are like Jehoshaphat, took the wrong turn. Help them to know that you're waiting back there where they took it. If only they'll turn around and come back. They'll find you. And just as you did for Jehoshaphat, you'll deliver them. You'll remember them. And you'll let them know that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Precious Lord, Coming into this pulpit is those little steps. My shoes, 13 inches long, those steps are about 8. And so I have that fear. I sit there when he was finishing up that song. I said, now, Gene, plant your feet on every step or you'll fall forward, and then you won't preach at all because the house will come down in the wrong way. I'm sorry I wasn't here this morning. My ox got in the ditch. My son's ox got in the ditch. My youngest son called me about 9 o'clock. We were getting ready to go to church. He said, Dad, he said, I've got a water line busted. My ceiling's fallen. He said, my floor's falling apart. He said, it must have busted during the night. He said, I said, well, okay. He didn't ask me to come up there. I said, well, you need me to come up there? Thanks, Dad. Come on. So I went up there and stayed 5 hours. We finally got the water line fixed, but pray for them. If you've never had water damage, it's just bad. It's a two-story, and the water line's in the ceiling, and it's falling down and falling up and falling apart and everything else. So just remember them. Remember our grandson, Austin. He flies out next week to Baltimore and in Germany, and then my wife's grandson, he flies out the same week going to Hawaii. Of course, I'm going with him to be his bodyguard for 3 years. but they're both in the military. One's in the Air Force, and the other's a medic in the Army. Ben's a medic. Austin's in the Air Force. And so remember them. Remember all of our military. These young guys, they don't know what they're going into. You know, if they blow that reactor up over there, it's going to get bad. And we just live in a scary time, a dangerous time, you know. And I realize we've got a big God, but I also realize we're still in the flesh, you know. And we don't want things to happen, even though they're going to happen. And so remember these young men, you know, young people don't have their faith hadn't developed like our faith. You know, we can handle things a little better than they can spiritually. They can handle it physically. We handle it better mentally and spiritually. And so just remember these young men. They're both Christian men, both been raised in church. And so that's the main thing about them. And I appreciate you remember them in prayer. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. To give you a couple little things about Hebrews, I'm not going to be preaching from the whole book, just using this text to bring it out and take it in another direction. But when you study the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that 15 times in that book, you'll find the words better than. Better than. You see, we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say Paul. It's been attributed to Philip. It's been attributed to Aquila and Priscilla. Apollo. Only God knows 100% for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. They're not sure when it was written. They believe it was written in 64 A.D. Because it's a book that was written to the Jewish Christians. Their ancestors were trying to get them to go back into Judaism. And so the book was written. The whole theme of it is our high priest. It's the only book that mentions a high priest. in the New Testament as far as who Christ is. He's our high priest. Now, that's very important. If you go study the Old Testament, then you'll see why he is called the high priest. And you'll find out when you read those two words in Hebrews that they're in capital letters. That means he's the highest priest. None higher. The pastor is not the highest. The Pope is not the highest. You know, Jesus is the high priest. Now, a priest, he's your representative in heaven. The Bible says he ever makes intercession for us. It's like a courtroom. God is the judge. Jesus Christ is your lawyer. And if you go to court, you need to get a lawyer. I started to represent myself one time, and I was informed that you have a dummy for a lawyer. And so that's about what they say, you know. And so it's best you get somebody that knows more of what's going on than you do in the court system. But anyway, you've got God the Father. He's seated on the throne. And then you've got Jesus Christ, who is your lawyer or your high priest. All right? He's your representative between you and God. Every prayer you pray goes through Christ. God can't hear it. Charles Stanley made that statement one time, and he got a lot of negative comments about it. But he didn't back down. You see, you can't pray except through Christ. You understand that? Oh, you can pray, and it'll make you feel better personally, but God is not obligated to answer your prayer apart through Christ. Because he has to take your prayers, clean them up, and present them to God the way they should be presented. If you remember, he said, we don't know even how to pray. God takes over when you don't know how to pray. Even when you know how to pray, we don't know how to pray. I don't enjoy praying in public because I catch myself trying to say words that would impress somebody instead of God. You say, well, it ain't like me. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a little under you then. But I try to, and some preachers, I've heard them stand up, you know, and pray and they're good men, but I know they're out of character because they're trying to think of words that will impress the congregation more than they impress God. A man by the name of Grant Walker was in the First Free Will Baptist Church in Mountain City, Tennessee. I would have called on him to pray every time, except you have to kind of scatter it out, because Grant Walker is one of those guys, when he started praying, you found yourself being quiet and listening to what he had to say, because it sounded like he was talking to God. That's the way he prayed. And he had, I don't know where you call it a talent. I guess it was. But he was fantastic, prayed in public. He just, you know, when you find yourself being quiet and listening to what the guy's saying that's praying, you know, and we all stand, we all pray. You know, that's okay. But when you catch yourself not praying, listening to another guy pray, that means he might be getting a hold of the throne of God. And that means he might be saying something that you need to hear. And so, in the book of Hebrews, they were trying to be drawn back into Judaism. And so the high priest is mentioned because they didn't need to go back to the high priest. They need to go and realize who the high priest was. All right, that makes sense? And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater than he swore by himself, saying, surely bless and I will bless thee, and multiply and I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you noticed in the first part of those verses, and I'm, like I said, I'm taking it out of context, okay? But 60% of my preaching is word study. I just read a word, and it just turns on a light, and I jump on it. And if you'll notice, there's a word found here in these verses. It's the word great. Great. You know, when you go to court, the judge will say, now, do you swallow me, swear, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? What's the rest of it? So help you God. You know, when you make a promise, you say, I promise you, I'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Well, see, you can't make that promise and make it 100% promise. You'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock by the help of God. But see, God has no one greater than he that he has to say, so help me God. Now, Father, this is good. You see, when he says something, he's the greatest. So he can't swear by anybody else like you and I do, or make an oath except within himself, because he has no one else to go to. That makes sense? Let me read just real quick. It's I read it, I wrote it down so I could read it, because I thought, well, let's memorize it. And I thought, well, I don't want to memorize it. I want you to hear it, okay? It says, God's word, God's character, God's power, God's promises. When you hear the mention of God, you automatically associate it with a supreme being, with supernatural power, power and strength, super and strength, absolutely purity, infinite wisdom, not carved wood, polished silver, pure gold, or a painted canvas or plaster image. Neither a strange, weird feeling that makes you act ungodly. Do we really realize who we worship? Is it something we just do out of habit? Is it something we just do because it makes us feel good? Is it something we do to keep us in touch with God? You see, none of that really matters, because everything we enjoy is because he's great. You understand that? He's great. Years ago, I read this word, and I've just jumped on it ever since. When somebody texts me and say, how you doing? I say, great. How you feeling? Great. But I don't know really the concept of that word. You see, I could feel great one minute and be dead the next minute. And I would feel greater, but you wouldn't know it, because you won't go with me at the same time. Although I know a couple that prayed they'd die together, and they died one day apart 52 years later. And she had dementia. No, he had dementia. She was fine. Her mind was good. Guess who died first? She did. He didn't even realize she had died. They prayed together for years, holding hands in their home at their altar. That was their great testimony. And so God took her first. Everybody thought he was going to die. They were gathered to home for him to die. But guess what? God's grace moved in and made it easier on both of them by taking her first, and he didn't even know she had gone. And then the next day, God said, well, to prove my point, I'll let him go now. And they both died, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, and I preached their funerals on Thursday, both of them together. So, you see, God does answer prayer sometimes that we don't think about. But let me show you some things here real quick. First of all, in Titus 2:13, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of God. No, of the great God. Looking for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Titus 2:13. You see, he's great enough to save us to the uttermost. He's great enough to secure us to the uppermost. And he's great enough to snatch us to the outermost. That's how great God is. Listen, you can get up in the morning and enjoy the day knowing that you serve a great God and knowing there's a great God in charge. You see, my grandson's going to Germany. The other one's going to Hawaii. There's two of them in college. I can't be around them all the time. Got a granddaughter that got two of my great-grandchildren. I can't be around them. But I tell you what I can do. I can put them in the hands of a great God, and I don't have to worry so much about them. I remember I had a lady in the church one time. She'd come to the altar every Sunday. And when you go to her home, she was constantly carrying a burden. And so one day I was in her home, and I was just right, you know, and we were talking, and I said, Sister Green, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean it in the wrong way. I said, God did not call you to carry the world on your shoulders. You're not great enough, but he is. And she said, Preacher, you're not the first one's told me that. And she said, I tell myself that every day, but she said, I can't help it. You know, and so I left it alone. She can't help it. But you see, a great God can carry it all. I don't know what you face tomorrow, but there's a great God in heaven that'll take care of it. Now, I'm assuming everybody here to know it, now knows Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you do, because the greats get greater. Notice the next one. In Ephesians 2 and 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, there it is again, for his great love wherewith he loved us. So we've got a great God, and he loves us with a great love. You feel loved tonight? You should. A great God loves you, and his love is great. How great is it? It's so good that his love allows him to give you mercy, something you didn't deserve, and give you grace that you got. Mercy and his grace upon you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. How's it given? Through his love. Everything God does, he does through his love. You say, well, what about hell? It's given through his love. God's love demands. God's love demands that sin be punished. And sin was punished at the cross. And when you accept that, then your sins are taken care of. But if you haven't accepted that punishment, then your punishment's coming for your sin. And the one sin you're going to be punished for is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. All the others just fall in place. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not none. There's not one righteous, no, not a one. Everything we have is through a great God. How big is God? Well, he's so big that the earth's his footstool. God sits down on his throne and he sticks his foot upon the earth. Now, I don't know where he sticks about. I hope it's not Elizabeth. You get the picture of how big God is? The earth is, what, 25,000 miles around? It's 12,500 miles through the center. And that's how big the world is. And God uses it as a footstool. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, if he's that big, how does he live in my heart? Ain't that good? That he can sit on a throne and rule the universe with his feet set upon the earth, and then yet he can come and be in your heart. You say, how does he do that, preacher? By his spirit. You see, he can live in every heart all over the world that knows him at the same time. And he can make you feel like you're the only one in the world. Whew. Now that's good. Make you feel like you're the only one here. Make you feel like you're his only child. You're the only one he's got. He can make you feel that good. And that's secure. See, security is what you want to look at. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about, security. The high priest giving you that security so that you can know that a great God and a great love takes care of you. Then notice in 2 Peter 1 and 4, he says, whereby are given to us exceeding great, there's that word again, great and precious promises. Now some guys that have read the promises in the Bible, one said there's over 12,000. Another one said there's close to 15,000 promises. I don't know how many there are, but I can assure you of this, not a one of them has been broken. Not a one of them. Not one promise that God has promised has been broken. And not any of them will be broken because they're all made to God's people. But some of them are made to the lost. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. That's a promise, friend. Now, I didn't make that promise. God did. I told you a while ago, the only way I can make you a promise is by the help of the Lord. I promise you, I'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I promise you, I'll be here next Sunday. If God help and God's grace is sufficient, I'll be here. But you can't do that. But God can. Has he promised you anything? Sure he has. Now, he didn't promise you a bed of roses when you got saved. And these preachers say he did. They're wrong. God doesn't preach. The Word does not preach a prosperity gospel. Now, he preaches a prosperity gospel. Prosperity. And spiritual things that relate to you spiritually, it's as prosperous as you can get. But when it comes to you sowing $1,000, getting $2,000 back, don't believe that. God's not obligated to hear that. These guys can take verses, you can take the Bible and prove suicide. The Bible says, and Judas went out and hung himself. On that earth it says, go thou and do likewise. That's a part of two verses. You put them together. Do what Judas done. Go hang yourself. I don't want to. Because they don't go together. See? So the prosperity gospel that's preached that has to do with physical things, that has to do with material things, that have to do with finances. Now, grant you, God does take care of folks that sow money. I'm telling you, he does. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm just telling it to show you. My wife and I went out to Cracker Barrel a few weeks ago, and we ate, and there was this man and woman had a little boy with them. And, you know, they went up by the fireplace, and they were taking pictures, and it was a little girl, wasn't it? And this little girl started cutting up, and I felt so sorry for them. The little girl needed to go to the bathroom, and the young lady had the little girl was there. She had to ask where the bathroom was at Cracker Barrel. If you have to ask where the restroom is in Cracker Barrel, you've probably never been to Cracker Barrel. And so they took her out through there with the little girl, and they came back, and as they came by our table, God said, I want you to buy their dinner. So I asked our waitress, I said, would you bring me the ticket? Now, I'm not telling you this to praise me. I'm just going to show you something. they brought the ticket. It was $53. I paid for it, and we paid ours. I left $100 for both meals, mine and my wife, tips and all. And when we left, I told the waiter, I said, don't you tell them who did this. You see me drive off, you can say whatever you want to, but don't you tell them. And so I don't know whether she told them or not. Make a long story short, the same week, I go and get a pedicure about every 3 or 4 weeks because my feet hurt. You say, that's sissy. Well, call it what you want to. I'll do it anyway. Feels good. Y'all try it. Right, ladies? Feels good. And she always says, what color do you want them? Just cutting up with me? And I say, put that bright red on there. You know? And so she always cuts up with me. But I got ready to pay. And there was somebody in there said, I've got his. Let him go. Now, is that a coincidence? I'd never seen this person in there getting a pedicure before. Never. Didn't even know they went there to get a pedicure. And I left there, and it's like God said, I told you I'd take care of you. When are you going to start believing me? You're 77 years old. Well, I could stand here tonight and tell you stories after story after story. I went away in revival one time and left my car insurance laying on the desk and didn't have it. Didn't have the money to pay it. Back years ago, it was hand to mouth when you're young. And I needed $186. I went to Birmingham, Alabama and held a revival in a little church that averaged 26 every night. We had 6 saved. They took an offering every night and just poured it in a paper bag. And when I got ready to leave, that preacher, the last night, handed me a paper bag. And he said, preacher, this is the offering for the week. We're giving it all to you. I got home, spread it out on the bed, counted all the change and everything. And did you know that there was $186 and some cents in that bag? Now, is that a coincidence? No. No. God takes care of you. If you take care of him, he'll take care of you. But now the prosperity gospel, you know, be careful about who you support and what you support. But God has promised that he'll take care of his children. I've never seen the righteous nor forsaken or his what? His seed begging bread. You say, I know a lot of people out there that's begging bread. Let me tell you something now, and I'm going to say something now that, you know, I'm glad we're not on Facebook. There are just a lot of people that are too lazy to work. Now, when I pass somebody on the street corner, I've helped a few. But if he's standing there with a pack of Winstons in his pocket, they're $6.80 a pack, and he's got a gut on him as big as me, he's not hurting too much. Some of them got nicer clothes on than I have sometimes. You know. Now, if they've got a sign up that says hungry, I run right to the restaurant and bring them back something to eat. I did that one time, the guy got mad. He didn't want food. He wanted money. For whatever he needed it for, I don't know. But God takes care of his own. Great promises. Now, notice the next one in Acts 4:33 says, and with great power. You think Russia's got power? You think the United States has got power? I read not long ago that Russia has 50 nuclear warheads with all 50 states wrote on them. And one on there with Tennessee. And if they start pushing, if they can't knock mine out of the air, I hope it hits right here in East Tennessee. I'd just soon go fast. I don't want to stand around 30 seconds and melt off my bones. If I'm going to lose weight, I want to do it a little quicker than that. You know, you say, you shouldn't cut up like that. That scares people. It ought to scare us. It ought to scare us enough to get closer to God. Amen? But, hey, I'm just telling you, we're sitting on a powder keg I thought of that the other day when I read that, and I thought, God's got his feet upon it. And if they light them, and he's not ready for it to happen, I heard a preacher one time preaching on the cross, and he said, when Jesus died, when he was born, a new star was put in the sky. And when he died, he put out the sun. And it gave the figures of how many millions of degrees the sun is. And that preacher said he just wet his finger and put it out like a candle. Can you imagine that? Just put it out like a candle. You say, that was an eclipse. No. Eclipse lasted 13 to 16 minutes. Whatever happened at Calvary lasted 3 hours. He didn't want people seeing his son die on a cross. He was the only one that wanted to view that. Now let me go a little farther. So he has great power. When they prayed in the book of Acts, chapter 4, when that was mentioned, it says that when they prayed, the place was shaken. I wonder what happened in the local church if we started praying and everything was shaken. I remember in one place where they was praying, and you know, Peter get out of jail, and he got out of jail, and there's a little girl standing there wasn't praying. She looked up, and they said, who's the door? And they said, Peter. And they said, it can't be. He's in jail. And they was all praying he'd get out. See? He has great power. He can move this mountain over here if he decides to. Do you understand that? He could swap the oceans if he decided to. The Bible says all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. That's our God. But notice what else he says. In Hebrews 2, 1 and 2. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so what? Great salvation. Tommy mentioned it a while ago. I thought he's going to get into my sermon in spite of everything he does. Great salvation. Our salvation is great. Remember Tony the Tiger? Some of you young people don't. On the, what was it? Frosted Flakes. And that guy, he had it down pat. He'd say it's great. That's our God. He's great. The salvation is great. What makes it so great? Three things I want to share with you real quick. First of all, it's great because of the person involved. Not you. The Son of God. It's great because of what it cost. You have Calvary. You have the grave. That's what it cost you. It cost the death of Jesus Christ for you to have salvation. And then what made God recognize it is Jesus rose from the dead and he said, it's finished. Everything's over. I accept what my son has done. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 10, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, it's not enough just knowing who he is and knowing how great. I want to know the power of the resurrection. Can you imagine? He went in that grave dead and came out alive. I was at a funeral here a while back, and I told the family, I said, your loved one is like Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. They said, he's not risen. I said, yeah, he's the right hand of the Father. This is just a house he lived in. That's salvation. That's how great salvation is. It's taking care of you for eternity. Do I have to worry about tomorrow? No. I'm concerned about my children, my grandchildren, and what they're going to be facing. But as far as worrying, no. No. I don't worry about them because they're in his hands. I don't worry about the world. It's in his hands. All these gravity issues I have no control over, because God is great. His salvation great. His power is great. His promises is great. His love's great. And then in Hebrews 12 and 1 it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. If you feel like giving up, walk out through the graveyard and that tombstones of people that you know, they did it, so didn't you? They made it. I mean, those witnesses came from somewhere, didn't they? They made it. Some of the old preachers, I was thinking the other day, Dan's probably the oldest one now in the conference. I remember when he and I were the youngest. I think Talmadge Brown's still living. Is he still in the conference? But you start talking about some of these old preachers, Elmer Carter, Guy Foster, all these guys, you know, that, hey, guess what? They made it, I can too. They did it, why can't I? See, they're the witnesses. You say, I thought it was angels talking about there. No, it's witnesses. Why are they witnessing? The same thing they went through in you. They're witnessing you. Now, I don't think God lets you see the bad stuff as a witness. But I think he sees when churches are gathered together and those witnesses are up there. Can you imagine what it's like being on a football field? And all the people in the stands, you know, rooting their team on. Can't you see them up there? And somebody's about to give up, and you can just about hear them say, don't give up, don't give up. It's not going to be long. Don't give up, don't give up. And then the high priest hears what the witnesses are saying, and he comes about 3 o'clock in the morning, and you kind of waking up, can't sleep, and the high priest says, hang in there, it gets better. Hang in there, it'll get better. Don't give up. Take one more step. Just one more. Because the next step, you may be face to face with the priest himself. We're encamped about with great witnesses. And then the one I didn't want to mention, but you about have to, is in Luke 16:26. And he said, beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. As the tree falls, that's how it lies. Now, I realize that there's a thing going around called purgatory. That means when you die, I remember when John Kennedy died. I wasn't about 18 or 19 year old, but I remember when he died, about an hour and a half later, they put Lyndon Johnson in as president. And then I remember 2 days later, and I don't know why I remembered this, but 2 days later, the Pope said that John F. Kennedy had passed safely through purgatory. Now, how did he know that? Pope. But how did he know that John F. Kennedy passed through purgatory? I've never heard him say, I've never heard that said about anybody else. And so I did a little study on purgatory. There's no such place. You can't study purgatory. There's no such place. I'm sorry. I went to this book to study it, and I didn't find it in there. I did find there's a great gulf fixed. When the rich man died, he opened his eyes in hell immediately. You see, when you die, and your body's up here, that's just the house. You're either in hell or you're in heaven. You see, I thought we was at a holding station. No such thing. Jesus is seated right here of the Father, and he said, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you're saved, that puts you in heaven. And if you're lost, the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. And the Bible says he was in torment, and the biggest tormentor he had there, the flames are not mentioned. But you know what's mentioned?
Son, remember. His memory eat him alive.
See? The witnesses in heaven, they remembered the good stuff. When they got saved. There's a little woman, I'll tell you this story and I'll we'll leave.
There's a little woman that lived over in Keystone. She lived over where Kenneth Grindstaff pastor. What's that down through there?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Rich Acres, over in that area. And I would go visit her. And she'd say, now who are you? I'd say, I'm Gene Deaton. I'm the pastor over at the church. She said, oh, okay. We'd talk about 5 minutes. She said, now who'd you say you were? And I'd say, I'm Gene Deaton, pastor at First Free Will Baptist Church. We'd talk a little while longer, just 3 or 4. Now tell me again what your name is. And then we get to talk. And she'd say, you know, and now we're talking about a 90-some-year-old woman. She said, when I was 12 years old, she didn't know me. She said, when I was 12 years old, my mama took us to the Brush Harbor. And she said, I remember coming back. She said, I got to thinking I needed to get saved. And she said, they walked ahead. And she said, I went over in a little thicket. And 8 years later, she didn't remember my name 5 minutes. Yeah. Something happened to that thicket.
Yes, it did.
She said, I went into that thicket and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. And she said, I'm ready to go to heaven. Now what was your name? She didn't need to know my name. She didn't need to remember my name. Boy, she remembered a time that she got right with the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And guess what? She's one of those witnesses. One of those witnesses. Great. Oh, he's greater than anything this world knows. And he gives everything he does is great. Nothing he does is shy of great. Aren't you glad tonight that you're going to leave and go home with a great God? Isn't that, I mean, the condition the world's in, but there's a great God going to go with you. Well, if World War III breaks out, it's okay. It's time. If it breaks out, it's time. The book of Revelation talks about it. He said the blood's going to be up to the bridles of the horses for 200 miles. You say, that's impossible. Well, I've been over there. I've been over there in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There's a river that comes down through there about 200 miles. You get those soldiers in there and that blood hitting that river, what's it going to turn into? A bloody river. I saw that river, I didn't know that. It's small, you can't hardly see it, but there's what, at a certain time of the year, it broadens its sides. And I thought, that's how it's going to happen. I thought, how is quarts or pints you got? 5 pints in your body? And you multiply 5 pints by 200,000. So I thought, that don't come together for 200 miles, I thought. That's how he's going to do it. That's how he's going to do it. When they come into that valley of Jehoshaphat just before they go into above Jericho into Israel, he's going to fill it with blood. He said, Gene, draw your sword. No, he says, he tells the church, stand back, I'll take care of it. We're just along for more. We're get dressed in robes of white. He don't want them to get dirty. Amen. He says, I'll take care of this. I mean, if he can make rocks talk, make a donkey talk, you think he can't take care of and raise the dead and saved you, you dirty, low-down, rotten sinner? Do you think he's not great enough to do the rest of it? We serve a great God. Lord, thank you tonight for these scattered thoughts. Lord, we're glad that you're a great God and everything that you're associated with is great, because you can make a promise without making an oath on anyone but yourself. Some things we can't comprehend, but we believe it because you said it, and that settles it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.